This is the Team Builders Podcast, building better teams.
If it runs smooth at the venue, runs smooth for us and delivers a fantastic experience for you on the end.
This is the Team Builders Podcast with Stephen Haseley, Jerry Crowley and Jonathan Haseley.
And welcome back to the Team Builders Podcast, brought to you by Team Challenge Company. Myself, Jonathan, and my two co-directors, Jerry and Stephen. How are you both today?
Fabulous, Jonathan.
Stephen, how are you?
Living at large today, Jonathan, in the studio, loving it. Glad I've got my L'Oreal conditioner on, because I'm worth it.
Folks, it's a chance today, hopefully, to catch up on parts of planning team building events. And I thought I'd particularly like to focus on choosing the right venue. So obviously, we have the great pleasure of delivering team building events all over the country, further afield, and we're very lucky. All of those take place somewhere. And I like to think about what it feels and what things people can focus on when it comes to choosing their venue for their next event. So, you know, just an opportunity to share some inside tips of experience of what we've delivered. Obviously, we have worked, I think we calculate well over 500 venues across the UK every year. Whether you're booking venues or want to level up to your next event, we're keen to cover here today what makes a great venue for your team building event, what to look out for, and maybe some of the craziest situations that we've encountered along the way. So, Stephen, I'm going to jump straight in with you because I know you do a lot of our big events all over the country. What to you makes a really great venue for team building?
Obviously, location, because a client will want to know that they want to go to a certain region, whether it be Scotland, Wales, Northern Ireland, England, etc. So that's one key factor that we can change. Then within that, there's the geography, whether they want to be by the seaside or in the city. Travel time and travel distance makes a huge difference to the client. What makes a huge difference to us as a company, that the people that are within that building want to do the event and want to work with us and want to make it as smooth and easy for our customers to host an event, which is memorable for all the right reasons. You know, to be blunt, and you know I am a blunt instrument, you know, it doesn't matter to me whose logo is above the door. All I care about is the people inside the door. And if you've got a great event management team, you've got a great sales and marketing team, great general managers and operators, the likelihood is working with us and the clients will have a fantastic event because everything will run smoothly. The food and beverage will come out on time, the rooms will be good, and we can deliver an event which is sympathetic for what the clients are looking for, which is time well spent and money well spent, so that from start to finish, the client has had a wonderful experience. Because it's not, you know, usually we do one or two big events with clients all over the country. And usually, you know, it's a difficult thing for them to, could be a difficult thing to organise because it's not in their wheelhouse of what they normally do. So when they come to us, we can give them lots of advice, point them in the right direction, work with the team of their venue, including potentially their own workplace as well, to make sure that it's safe and viable and ticks all their boxes from start right through to finish.
Jerry, I guess, yep. You know, a lot of the time customers come and they've maybe already got a preconception of what they want to achieve from their team building session, whether that be, for instance, indoors, outdoors, and how those things might impact on their venue. So do you often find that clients of ours choose their venue and then try to work the team building activity around it, or a bit vice versa, maybe somewhere in between?
Yes, I think sometimes they get confused and they book the venue and then think they'd shoehorn something into it.
Yeah,
that's probably not such a great thing to do because there's lots of choices in an area. As Stephen mentioned, you know, you can go anywhere. I think it's really important to have your purpose first. So know what you want from your venue, and that might take you in a different direction, even from your favourite venue away to one that's more suitable for the delivery of what you require. Like, we're involved in message delivery engagement. So you need big venues to be able to accommodate throughput of people in a fast way, quick switch arounds, the availability of multi breakout rooms and an auditorium area, you know, somewhere you can talk to the, if it's 300, 500, 600 people, and then smaller areas where you can drill down and work with those people. Because if you've got 500 plus an audience, you're talking to them most of the time. But to engage with them, you can break that down smaller groups, or just ease of access, allowing them to go for breaks and not be working around them, not having the venue, Stephen mentioned, changing the water, changing the glasses, moving the chairs. All those things are vital. So for me, number one would be pick a suitable venue that suits your message, suits your purpose.
Yeah.
And try not to have too much of a workaround, I think is important, because we do get stuck sometimes in trying to work things around.
Yeah, you know, when we approach venues and we say to them, we're bringing a client event for 500 people, we would also ask the first question, have you done similar events? And if their biggest event they've ever done is 50, then you're kind of on the back foot a little bit in that they've never been tried and tested. But if the client and if the venue says, yeah, you know, we've regularly do 500, 1,000, whatever, you know, with a fair wind, they'll be able to take care of their own housekeeping in terms of food and beverage, staffing, operations, etc., etc., so that we can focus on what we really do best, which is developing the team, between the time they walk through the door and when they leave us and go back to their workplace again.
I have seen some things work really well with two venues,
yeah,
like a conference venue, but the accommodation and your dream is another location. Yeah. I think that's like a nice thing to think about as well. And doesn't double the cost a lot of the time. It makes it more accessible. So that's maybe a good thing to think about.
Yeah, too. For sure. Jerry, you mentioned, you know, a lot of the things that make a venue really positive. What have you encountered that maybe make it sometimes a bit more challenging, or things that perhaps our customers could really look out for and focus and think, oh, I better make sure that it has this, that, the other?
Yeah, I think it always, a lot of it comes down to what they want in conjunction with their conference. So if they want to have some put on an expo, so they can go out and having the space to put up some stands so that the guests can go walk around rather than sitting in their seat all the time and having a screen show them. So if there was extra available space, we always talk about space, don't we? We need more space, need more space. But I think it's important when you're booking one that you understand that moving 100, 150, even 30 people out of a room takes time, and you need somewhere for those people to go while you're reorganising the next level of your conference. And recently it was in a great venue and, you know, it had a cinema room in it, and like they didn't have a cinema at that time, but they used that room. Brilliant, you know, multifunctional, and they got the people out of the way and allowed us time to set up. We are, I suppose, a little selfish sometimes because we want to make sure that the client gets exactly the experience that they would want to get and not something that's had to be cut short a bit. Like, we like to put up lighting, banners, identification areas, and make it a fully immersive experience. And cutting those corners because you chose a venue that you can only fit 10 tables in with 10 people around it probably doesn't affect their experience, but it affects the experience that we want to give. And that's probably a little selfish from us, but we always want to deliver, like, you know, the highest of excitement that we can generate in the room. So if that room had a partition, we would get the partition down. Let's move our tables out. Let's get more space. I think I veered off your question, but, you know.
That's great. That's great.
Because it's such a hot topic, isn't it?
Yeah, for sure.
And the people always look at it, like what Stephen mentioned, they always look about what food you can get, how much the day to get it rate, and they forget about the simple things of, like, when are we going to change rooms? Yeah. Are we going to stay in here for 3 days? You know,
I think, you know, we've been successful over the years because clients trust us and they entrust in us so that their money is well spent. And we're a very honest company, and we will tell them if it's safe and viable and doable. So we will go in and research the room, as Jay says, arrival, departure, food, etc., etc., so the client doesn't have to do that. And also, we would rather lose a job than do a job, make an absolute disaster of it, because there are things that are beyond our control and capability, such as Jay said, the space, movement of people, etc., etc. And over the years, the jobs we have turned down for whatever logistical and viable reasons, we are glad we've turned those down, because it's paid dividends to us in that, you know, the client said, yeah, you know, they probably made a mistake in the choice of venue, which is ultimately going to be their choice based on budget, location, etc., etc.
You know, you mentioned challenge, big one, getting in.
Yeah.
Getting in for the clients easy through the front door.
Yeah.
Getting us and all the gear and the stuff in, we need to be, like, needs to be fine-tuned. I mean, we do enormous amount in big cities, and not to just single out London as one place, but, you know, you need a passport to get into properties in London these days. So it has to be well planned. Time has to be attributed to getting the equipment in from when the last book can finish to when the next one get in. And I must say, venues in bigger cities are attuned to that, and they afford that, but the client who's booking it forgets that.
Yeah.
So if you're working with a venue that doesn't give that consideration, that can be hugely, hugely challenging.
And I think we put a lot of effort in, don't we, from our coordination side, so from our team. So when a client does book us for an experience that they might have forgotten or oversaw all those things that, you know, need to be done, and our team really try hard to make sure that it's as smooth and as an efficient process as possible by liaising with the hotel teams or the venue teams to make sure that we can get access at this time, that we can move through the load and bay, and all those things are definitely big challenges.
I don't think people appreciate, like, our client probably doesn't, goes unnoticed. And to answer one of Stephen's quick points there, I think rather than not do it, we can recommend something that you can do somewhere else.
Yeah.
So as an example, say the room is crowded and they want something in the room, why don't we just go out into the park, you know, or into the city and use the stuff that's around there as well. But you're dead right, there's nothing worse than promising somebody something in a room that can't deliver, and we're left holding the baby, and we rather not do the event in the first place and then be the one that's perceived to letting down that person.
And it's the small things that make all the big differences to our clients. And we do what we do, and we always plough on, and, you know, we're doing lots of busy things all over the country and countries. And sometimes it's the small things and the small comments from a client. Recently, we did a big event for a client, HR director of a very big company. And when she wrote her comments back, she said, it was delightful to get a phone call the day before from the event manager to say, just looking forward to seeing you. We'll be there at 8 o'clock in the morning to get set up. And that gave her such a reason of trust and to entrust us. And then when we rocked up to the venue, she knew she should just relax, enjoy the day, and let us do what we did. And sometimes we forget that because we do it all the time, but we forget those small things that we've put in place for years and years and years, which just gives comfort and credibility to the client that when they turn up, they can enjoy their day and let us do the heavy lifting for them to make sure that they can focus on what their remit is for the day for success, whatever that may be.
Yeah. But I did an event in Manchester, first time ever working in Hyatt, and I had a telephone number, and I thought, oh, that's strange. Get to a loading bay and call a telephone number, like a mobile number. I phoned a mobile number, and this young lady answered and said, yes, Team Challenge Company, we'd be there in a second. Two doors open, dush, two people to help me, straight into a lift, up to the fourth floor, and what I had thought would be like an hour trailing the stuff in, I was up there in 20 minutes, ready to go. Yeah. I mean, that's a hotel that knows their business.
Yes.
You know, so I think if you're booking something and you're listening to this, make sure you speak to the conference department and make sure you can get your stuff for your conference in quickly rather than having to haul it up through main reception, isn't it? And then when she left, actually, she gave me her number and said, we hope to see you again.
Yeah, thinks you want a date.
Well, maybe.
Who wouldn't?
Yeah. I'm like, well, okay, so listen, we've done some of the serious stuff when it comes to booking team building events. I'd like to talk about some of the fun stuff maybe. What's maybe one of the craziest or most unusual venues? We've obviously had the pleasure of delivering events all over the place, all over the world. Any really thing that stands out, some amazing venues or very unusual venues that you had the pleasure of being in?
Loads of exciting venues, I guess, but you know, there's always a couple that stick in your mind.
Yeah.
And the one that really sticks in my mind, that was under Waterloo Station in London, from concept right through to helping it deliver. And it's a little funky place called 26 Leek Street. I could only describe it as arches when you walk through, just the railways underneath, and it's fully graffitied all over on the front door.
It feels like you're walking in the back alley type thing, and all of a sudden you turn inside.
And then inside it opens up into little spaces. And art spaces, and the acoustics are special. You don't really need microphones as such. And it's big and small at the same time. I think that was probably one of the most unique venues that I've had the experience with. And also what the client did with the venue too was exciting. They had street party, and then they had street food, and they had jazz band, and you know, they had an orchestra type thing going on, and then we were involved in the hot team building activity, creating little blockbuster movies, and
yeah,
they were on the streets of London, and you know, that whole kind of experience. And it went in a flash, but it was one that will savor for quite a long time.
Yeah, for sure. No, that was an exciting event. I've been reflecting on some of my favourites as you gents have been talking, and I'm going to flip mine to, rather than be unusual, I'm going to go with cool. And I had the great pleasure of supporting our wonderful Catalyst colleagues Be Challenged out in Australia, and had the pleasure of delivering a crescendo in the Sydney Opera House, which, you know, is pretty much as
it's a wow effect,
as iconic as it gets.
You told us you had to go work for it.
You told us you were in Brecon.
Yeah, so no, that spoiler. Really was looking out on Sydney Harbour and walking into the venue, again, somewhere that you only see in pictures on TV, and you can imagine the New Year fireworks going off over Sydney Harbour Bridge. And I was right there. And again, this really inspiring event, crescendo, a musical event inside Sydney Opera House, you know, hard to beat. 2 years later, I don't know if I topped it or not, but 2 years later, I was in Dubai Opera House.
Steve, there's something wrong with us.
we were in Peterhead.
Exactly. I was in Dubai Opera House supporting, again, Biz Group, who are the Catalyst Dubai partners. And that was a huge event, 700 people for an Infinite Loop experience. And again, just a truly wow venue that sits right outside the Burj Khalifa. I could only, obviously, being from Scotland, walk out for 3 seconds at a time before I start to burn, because it was in June in Dubai, which, let me tell you folks, is a warm place to be, much warmer than Scotland is anyway. Two of my coolest venue experiences, and again, I think just the fact that they were so iconic and the ability to be able to deliver a team building event in such a memorable place like that, obviously I thought was wow factor. The actual customers and the guests that were there, it blew them out of the water, you know, so it really wasn't exciting.
Meanwhile, me and Stephen were driving across the ocean to Dusseldorf in a four-wheel transit van.
Absolutely.
But no, that sounds amazing. Yeah, and also we all feel it when you're there too, because you see the fixtures, see the expansion, see the specialness of it. It's iconic, yeah.
One of my big things is the absence of luck. And I always believe that the right place at the right time with the right people produces the right results. And I remember a couple of years ago, we worked at Celtic Manor which is in Wales, and the venue absolutely blew me away. And that's why it's such an attraction to golfers and to tourists and incentive groups all over the world. We haven't done an enormous amount of work there, but on the occasions we have worked, the team there have been utterly professional, and it doesn't faze them at all when we come in and work with them to be able to deliver an event for 500, 600, 700, 800 people. They take us on board as part of their team and always make us feel welcome. And again, many other venues throughout the UK and beyond that do that as well. But I do remember Celtic Manor being one of those. So when I see their successes ongoing over lots of different opportunities and sporting venues, they've earned it. That's not by luck. That's by application.
Okay, bring it back down to earth then to maybe wrap us up for the episode. Jerry, you know, we've looked at some of the kind of key tips for things to look out for when it comes to booking your venue. Maybe if you could give us a bit of a summary, maybe the top few questions that you might ask an event coordinator or, you know, venue manager whenever you're coming to book your team building event or your team.
These days, number one would be, can we get a dedicated Wi-Fi for everybody? Because when sometimes if you're just on a public Wi-Fi with 200 people, you can't do your bit of work when you're there. And we all know that even when you go to the conferences, you want to be able to connect to the office, connect to your customers and get going. The AV is always a bone of contention as well. Some venues say they've got AV, but that means a stick with a screen on it and something projector from the 40s. I don't think that washes anymore. So they need to have like proper TVs or big screens and microphones. It's really difficult to speak to more than 20 people without a microphone, even though it might feel that's possible. So asking those type of questions definitely put you ahead. And then if they do have it, is there somebody on site that can help you connect your computer or your iPad or whatever it may be to the screens? That's really good thing to write in your to-do list. And then if you are, hopefully, I'm sure you will be having a team building experience there, what the turnaround time is of the rooms. So do they have staff available? Again, sometimes you go to venues and they just give you a room and then you see them at 5 o'clock.
Yeah.
Whereas you want to be able to get the room cleaned, perhaps some extra tables in, extra tables out, fresh water, discuss all those finer details. My biggest tip is run through the event in your mind with your coordinator or your manager who's running it from your venue and give them your wish list. And then find out what's not covered, can it be covered, and then you're being in a good place. And timings, of course. I mean, sometimes lunch at 1 o'clock, you're ready at 12:30 because, you know, that's just how things went down.
Yeah.
Do your guests have to walk around for half an hour? Or can it be produced? And having those little contingencies, because the venue will say, okay, we'll get it ready for 1:45. So either way, it's going to be 50 minutes over, 50 minutes under. So those little tips and those things. And our team, you know, the team who take our call for us are exceptionally like well versed and they know what it feels like. They've been there, they've, you know, helped themselves. So just asking, the advice is free from us. You know, nobody's going to go, okay, you've asked 4 questions. So, you know, we have to charge for those questions. If it runs smooth at the venue, runs smooth for us and delivers a fantastic experience for you on the end.
We're heading into our winter season, I would say now, and obviously our minds are focused on doing big events and conference facilities and people's own offices and venues indoors. But during the summer months, it's very important for us to advise a client to have some sort of wet weather backup, whether that be within the venue or to be marqueable or to have a range of different activities we can substitute if the weather turns very inclement. And we would never put our clients outside in a day. You wouldn't put your own family outside, your own children or your dog, even though I don't have a dog. I think that, you know, it is important that we have a backup for them so we keep them safe, give them plenty of fun, give them plenty of engagement without just saying to them, well, that's what you book, that's what you're going to take.
Yeah.
We would always have a backup for them, which, you know, one of the big advantages now on the internet is that we can predict what the weather's going to be in a number of days' time and give them alternatives. And we've developed those range of activities and events and equipment so we can do that for them without them having any undue worries about what the weather might bring to the event.
Thank you, gents. Listen, thanks so much today, and really big thank you for those listening. Hopefully we've been able to impart some of our knowledge gathered over the years of working with your venues and planning your conferences and team building. As we've learned, you know, finding the right venue for your event is much more than just location. You really do want to think about an experience overall, so creating something that really supports what you're trying to achieve for your people and your team. Just as you mentioned, Jerry, earlier on, you want to make sure that you focus on your goals rather than detract from them. I really do think our team in particular, when it comes to planning with venues, help really concisely to make sure that, you know, you experience all that a venue can offer as part of your conference. So something to really bear in mind. Thanks so much, Stephen and Jerry. Good to have you both here with us today, and look forward to catching you next time.
Pleasure as always, Jonathan, Jerry.
Yeah, thanks very much, guys. See you soon.
Awesome. Okay, folks, check us out on teamchallenge-company.co.uk. And for everybody else, we will catch you next time on the Team Builders Podcast. Thank you.